This is November the 9th, 1997. We're gathered for a meeting with Commander Hatton. Looks like we'll have to wait a minute or two till things quiet down.
I'm here in the holy light of God. Thank you for coming. I'll try not to shout and rave. Lose my speaker again. We have some things to take up before we can have just a regular meeting. Regular session. I'm going to leave it on the tape simply because we don't have things to hide, and we have these meetings for catch up. The stress level is extremely high. Will we make it? Won't we make it? Of course we'll make it one way or another. Does that mean it's all going to be honey and milk? I'd hope not. Does it mean we have to shed blood, tears, and be filled with wrath? No. We always have to go back and remember what it is we're about. Because the farther we go in a forward motion, the more important it becomes that you know what we started out to do, have the flexibility to change and meet whatever new commissions may enter our way, help to solve some of the problems that arise in any endeavor, and keep you somewhat abreast of what is going on with things already underway, already in confrontation, in legal matters, all of the things that as a community of friends we need to know. We have suffered greatly from too much talk, going back to ones that used that then against us. But it's all right, because the harder they push against us, the more open becomes the way of God. That will not make sense to you while you're in the midst of the assault. But, oh my goodness, are they ever losing? Are they ever losing? It's been a very, very interesting week. And I think that there is where we'll start. Ones ask, well, how did it go in Nevada this time? Superbly well. Mr. Green came to his own bankruptcy hearing. That's a new one. And while he's shouting about these two bankrupts, he's sitting in a bankruptcy review. Now, isn't that interesting? He almost exploded. He could hardly contain himself. We had to move Dorma to the wall to get her away from the aisle. He was so angry. And Brad and EJ sat opposite him and Mr. Horton. And if murder could have been accomplished, it would have been accomplished right there in front of that judge. Because she saw right through it. As EJ would say, he didn't tell many new lies. But every breath was a re-expression of the old ones. I can give you a for instance. Do you have anything to do with any other corporation in publishing or whatever would have taken place after America West Publishing? Nothing. EJ, read off the ones. And let's see how you dig some of these.
Officer's name. Officer's name, George W. Green, Greenland Development, Marseille, Idaho. George W. Green, President of America West Distributing, Secretary and Treasurer of America West Distributing, also of America West Publishing. President, Treasurer, and Secretary. It's all on that page.
What is the name of the publishing company that does the journals, Phoenix Source?
Yes. Officer's name, Desiree Green, President of Phoenix Publishing, Carson City.
I thought you'd really like that, people.
She's also Secretary and Treasurer of Phoenix Publishing. She's also President and Secretary and Treasurer of Transition Development. And then here's George Green without the W, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Minden Capital, Secretary and Treasurer of Ecological Development, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Bridger House, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Jamway, that's spelled J-A-M-W-A-Y, Inc. President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Web Wall, Inc. Wall is spelled W-A-L. And President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Global Insights, Inc. Yeah, that's it.
Are those from the Nevada records of officers of corporation? Is that what that is?
Yes. So, does an oath for truth in a valid court of law mean anything? Is there any reason that Mr. Horton, his attorney, could not get the same records? This is only one example of 20 to 25 minutes of one disastrous, for him, statement after another. This was to the trustee of the federal bankruptcy court, and your journals, the first 50, of which he had 110,000 copies, and the court ordered him to store them safely, get them insured, and have them available because they secured a note covering several notes made by George Green. And this involved America West Publishers, whose title you'll find on the copyright page of every one of those journals. Those are all gone. Now, you will remember back when there were floods in Reno, Nevada. Hear me well. Reno. R-E-N-O. Reno. The books were in Carson City, C-A-R-S-O-N-C-I-T-Y, some several miles away. But they got drowned in the flood in Carson City. And do you know that that person, if he could only remember his name, would have a receipt for them because he's the one that dumped them in the dumpsters. And Brad said, would that be Mr. Golden? Yeah, that's the one. So all the books that were held as any kind of collateral have been destroyed. What happened was George never paid him. He went out of business. It was an automotive garage. And they're quite gone, all right. But they still have 40,000 copies of Desiree's book, and they were the only ones ever in point, he said. Ever. He had these made up, printed, 50,000 copies, of which there's still 40, in a trade paper hand to do advertising for the Phoenix Institute and your paper. When questioned about the money owed to the Phoenix Institute, he said, oh, well, that was only borrowed under any circumstances to produce the paper. The Liberator, I believe he designated. Well, couldn't have been that because he took out the loans prior to any such paper. Now, he contradicted himself right there. When I asked about it again, he said, oh, well, Mr. Ecker made him sign those papers because Ecker was already in trouble with University of Science and Philosophy. And he had to do that, and then he got so confused that nobody could understand what the hell he was trying to say. But he was saying it was to protect myself from US&P. And then he goes into a tirade about being sued in a federal court in that case. And Brad just letting him go and hanging himself. And obviously this cannot be because we'd never heard of the University of Science and Philosophy. It already made the loans. The $350,000 did not come up in gold, but I'm going to bring that up in a minute because we're going to start handling these things as business decisions. Dorman and EJ are sick to death of phone calls, letters, papers, everything, trying to make decisions about ones out of state who have an idea or who want to journey here, who want to move here, who want to stay here. They want a job. They want a place. We are not a group. And the last one, last night or this morning, or both, is one who has visited here and come before. And he says he's just not making it at all where he is. How well are we making it where we are? Thank you, Margie. But God is telling me I need to go there. Well, listen to God. But don't confuse God. Don't confuse God with what it is you think you want to do. Because you have others that were here and left, and boy, did they learn. And I think that some of you might want to write to these precious people, Warren and Phyllis. You'll remember them, the Cantrells. There has been such remorse in their hearts because they could not stick it out just because they wanted to kind of run things. Phyllis did. And it became very difficult. and she was trying to raise a grandbaby that was just an infant. They have been everywhere from Tennessee to Kentucky, and now they're in Texas. And all they want to do is come home again to Tehachapi. We've had many meetings recently, to the extent that this is why I'm not going to discuss them off the record. I want them on the record. This is what we're about. We weren't about some easy trip down any pathway, especially the pathway of light. It gets awfully dark behind those boulders shoved in your path. It gets awfully, awfully dark above those cement boots they put on your feet and throw you in the lake just as often as they can. George Green finally shouts out, "They've cost me $1 million on top of all those millions they cost me before." Now, I could swear that part of that cost might have been to attorneys. Well, that particular set of circumstances will undoubtedly get worse before it gets better, because now the trustee will have to recommend to the court that the man is either a pathological liar. He has lied so often in every case that he is no longer considered a worthy witness, even in his own behalf. But that doesn't help your cause, does it? Except that they maybe throw out the bankruptcy. This is the second time that within number one trial, this was to be the trial in Judge Griffin's court some time ago. And 5 days prior to that trial, they filed bankruptcy. This time, 4 days before confrontation in trial on this subject, they filed bankruptcy again. And this was a hearing. They were going to throw everybody out as being unsecured lenders. No. There were 110,000 journals. Dated material, now worthless, and now gone. So I don't think Mr. Green is through paying his lawyers yet, and yet, don't try to fool God. He ain't paying them now. That's why it goes on and on and on and on. Now, new attorneys, new executors in Texas yet to test Dave Overton's will. Let them. Let them play. They just get deeper and deeper and deeper. Where are we with Betty Tootin? Still just as tangled up or more so than before. She has such an idiot lawyer, only surpassed by the one she had. He hasn't served the proper papers, but all of the restrictions are now in more firmly placed enforcement. And the Eckers haven't even been served the second time with a response. Brad is going to see what he can do about precipitating something through the court. But you see, they're all standing back waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to see what's going to happen to the gold. So now I have to discuss the gold because I have the board of advisors here and the board, and please, this will serve as a meeting of the board of directors and advisors. Gene Dixon has had some bad times lately, but he's going to have some worse times now. He called Mr. Ellie. He said that he was moving back to Grass Valley sometime in the near future, but he was going to meet with EJ to make sure that he had arrangements made for his bonus, and he wanted to know the status of the gold. And Brad said, oh, Gene, don't do that. That will be a very large error. That is bogged down worse than before. And I don't see how you could justify even discussing a bonus over something that shows no signs of not one string being released to 1 cent of it. So you on the advisory board and the board of directors are going to have to vote as to what you feel is the proper way to handle a bonus on gold that we don't have. I don't know what else to say about that. You can take that business up later. Have we solved all the problems? Are you kidding me? I could ask and say, how many of you have solved all of our problems? Well, we're solving them, one right after the other. We are going to move on with our mission, no matter how rough the crossing is across this creek bed, while we try to get on with our mission. We have never had this group as a church, period. This was for your protection. You should see them get in court and try to babble about what we must be. And I'm going to insist now that Mr. Ellie play the ET card like they do. Mr. Green said to all of his people, to everybody, thank you. He told everybody, including Bo Greitz, who immediately called and wanted to know of Hatton, how the hell many of you are there up there? To which I could only answer one. Well, Green says, and he had written this, that you went with him to Nevada, and he receives directly from you. And, of course, Desiree receives directly from you, Aton, Sananda, etc. Well, I suggest that when you have the Greens on the witness stand, you ask them about that. And then I want it asked very, very carefully. Are these ETs to which you refer? Who wrote the owner's manual? And the only logical answer to that will be, well, Desiree received. Druthea. Oh, from who? Is that an ET? We're going to stop this garbage playing and mudslinging. But you don't stop it by capitulating to it. It just doesn't even deserve an answer. It does deserve an answer. God deserves an answer. People, you're not playing through this experience. And if you are, you better stop it. This is your schoolroom. This is your classroom. This is the journey of your soul. and you can play through anything you want to. But we are not here to play. We are here to accomplish what God has sent us to do. Now, are we going to be successful at any major fundraising of any kind under any circumstances? You better believe it. And they have made it so obvious to us that we will have to not only account for every cent, but every project. Now, how are we going to maintain that, get from here over to here, and be alive to do it? Well, we met yesterday with some intriguing people who actually have a lot of what we need, but oh my goodness, do we ever have what they need? They have gone a long, long way, and they've done it under the shelter of a church, which has all but destroyed them in most ways, as you might well guess. But we can handle what they need done. And in the meanwhile, for those services, we probably can begin to glean enough income to barely keep us going a little bit further until some of these other things unfold. And I'm saying this as much for EJ and Dorma as for anyone in this room, because after a while, your head goes numb and you think, I just can't do this anymore. I can't stand the responsibility. We're going to stand the responsibility. Now make it clear to yourself in this room, out there listening, we are going to be and stand responsible. These are the lessons. You have been given mighty tools. Once again, the corporate veils have held, no matter what they've done, even being insiders. The structure has held. And why would it hold? Because we have done it honestly. And when we answer in truth. And we don't have to worry about our stories a second time not meshing. Well, what are we going to do about these ongoing things? What ongoing things? Well, just got a new suit week before last from Mr. Horton and Mr. Abbott. This was again Schroffer, Teja, and Fort. And Infinite Balance. Infinite Balance is completely 100% run and operated by Ann Beam, who finally broke up with Mr. Fort and moved out, and subsequently moved away. So what is the status of Infinite Balance, Mr. Fort's corporation? More important, how dares they continue after John's death to name him? Now I'm going to tell you the real punchline, and this should make every lawyer on our side very happy. Eleanor doesn't have Teja Corporation. They came back from Carson City, Eleanor and John, and they wanted to remove the Eckers as their officers and directors. And this was basically, boy, are we glad to be rid of that type of an attitude. John was back in less than 2 days pleading with Kathy and EJ to take back this corporation. And he was there with Eleanor. They felt they had been sucked into something. Well, I don't think Eleanor was sucked into anything that she didn't understand. But she didn't know what to do with the corporation. They never paid another cent. They never met any kind of a commitment to the corporation or its structure from that moment forward. Does anybody in this room remember voting to sue us? I didn't think so. Now, I don't know what Mr. Abbott's going to do when that hits him between the eyes. It's just been saved up there. And you see, they've hauled this group into court at least 3-4 times now because they said that Mr. Ellie had no right to represent the Institute, didn't have a right to represent the Eckers, didn't have a right, certainly, to represent three corporations that were taken by Betty Tootin. Well, the judge ruled against that and said he certainly did. And the corporations were in good standing, ordered them to get those books back in court. Oh, but they haven't done it. They haven't done it. So I wouldn't want to be on that side anymore. But it's going to take a while for that to legally unfold. Now, Ray has done an exceptionally good job of working up a David Miller type filing, which will go back to the first encounter in the Mojave court with Jason Brandt and Stephen Horn. That has been filed. It was accepted by the court clerk, but they did appoint a magistrate, and since we have not yet served Jason Brandt or Stephen Horn, we're going to hold up until Ray has a case with he and Janet to attend tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes, and we will petition the court and demand that we not have a magistrate. We only need a judge. But we have the judge appointed also, and it's Judge Coyle. He'll love seeing us again. And he's going to see us another dozen or so times. And he knows it. He knows it's coming. Now, one other thing. You might have suspected this when the second assault came for contempt of court against the Eckers with Judge Coyle and all of that, we're going to throw you in jail and stuff, was the final bargain between Green and US&P. You see, he owed them $43,000. He just sold you out, you know, and that was not paid. So Brad asked him, you keep speaking of infringed works. Do you owe anyone anything on any infringement or probable cause or anything, Mr. Green? And he hum-hawed around again under oath, though he said, no, not now. So he made the rest of his bargain. Well, I think that we'll let Judge Coyle and those other people explain to us in a common law setting what it was they had in mind. Because all we have to do is stand there and say, you violated our constitutional rights under the law. And you did it with knowledge, etc. We have so many, we don't even know where to go first. But we'll get better. And this will begin to help turn around some of that unlawful mess that goes on all the time. And when you can do it yourself, it doesn't cost you any more than it costs their lawyers. And pretty soon, it's going to get very tight. And one of the very things that Mr. Green, almost in tears, said he was so sick of spending money on lawyers. He just wanted it to end. Well, I would suggest that all we've wanted all along was just to end. So if these people do not even know what their lawyers are doing. And how they don't know what their lawyers are doing was the most foolish thing they ever did. Do you really think that Abbott goes over to visit with Eleanor? Do you think that Eleanor has any idea about what goes on? And you heard Leon Fort in this room say, I don't understand any of that. I don't even read it. Well, he didn't have to worry about it because nothing really was ever sent to him. And that man took money, put it in escrow, and spent it personally for himself, and then double the jeopardy. He asked Leon if he could use part of it as an investment in something, and he would split the stock. That is as unlawful as you can get in the judicial system. But they did it. So maybe, maybe not, people began to open their eyes. These are the things of life that happen while we have been making other plans. But you had to have the lessons. Everything you've experienced now serves you. So not one thing that appears negative must even touch you, except to know that you can now handle whatever this system tosses at you. And that frees you up for your connection with God. And He's going to put you through your paces. I need to talk just briefly about the phone call. This was a very genuine phone call. Please, I am not in any way discounting the person or the wish or the involvement. Just for the record, just remember R.S. This person is not making it where he is. He would like to come and dwell in his little trailer. Well, his little trailer has a bed. That's it. And he would like to dwell out at the farm. Now, this person before had wanted us to fire, you know, Pablo's friends and Pablo, because he could do all that. And it seemed that one of us, get this, one of us should have the jobs. So that did not go well. But this person is a school teacher, has some pretty good talents, and would want to work into, once again, I didn't know we had such a desirable farm, but some kind of farm manager. Well, we have ones in line for that. And that's after Dingman gets back. Dingman didn't go away. Dingman could not get his citizenship covered, and he couldn't get his children into school. Now he's going to be a hauler, a log hauler, for the winter so he can get enough assets together to hit again the immigration problem and return. And we said, never are we going to get in the mess we've been in with the farm. It's a leased farm, but we need the silos. We need the granaries. We need the flour operation. So Ed Davis, who is second only to Cal Organic in the organic growing recognition arenas, is going to take it, upgrade all of the irrigation systems, and he's going to make it part of his farm experience for the next season or two. That helps us. That gets rid of that headache. Now, R.S. would wish to remain at the farm, help Ray and Janet with whatever you know, they needed help with. Well, I have to say right here that I only see that cooking and that sort of thing would have to be done at Ray and Janet's, because there's nothing like that in the little trailer, number one. And number two, you're going to get very lonely out there. And their schedules are very much like Ed Young's. They work all night, so that daytimes are in sleep and research and court and things like that. They have been watching and tending over everything. So I am not going to even begin to consider making such a decision. What is being asked is that, can I come and wait, and maybe you'll take care of me until God takes care of all of us. God's tired. Don't anybody understand? God will show us the way. We have to do it. But I lay that before you. That's going to need some kind of a decision, I guess. Because we don't have a church. We don't have a group. Nobody even knows who to go to. But EJ's got the headache now of what do I do about this.
This is November the 9th, 1997. We're gathered for a meeting with Commander Hatton. Looks like we'll have to wait a minute or two till things quiet down.
I'm here in the holy light of God. Thank you for coming. I'll try not to shout and rave. Lose my speaker again. We have some things to take up before we can have just a regular meeting. A regular session. I'm going to leave it on the tape simply because we don't have things to hide, and we have these meetings for catch up. The stress level is extremely high. Will we make it? Won't we make it? Of course we'll make it one way or another. Does that mean it's all going to be honey and milk? I'd hope not. Does it mean we have to shed blood, tears, and be filled with wrath? No. We always have to go back and remember what it is we're about. Because the farther we go in a forward motion, the more important it becomes that you know what we started out to do. Have the flexibility to change and meet whatever new commissions may enter our way. Help to solve some of the problems that arise in any endeavor. And keep you somewhat abreast of what is going on with things already underway. Already in confrontation, in legal matters. All of the things that as a community of friends we need to know. We have suffered greatly from too much talk, going back to ones that used that then against us. But it's all right, because the harder they push against us, the more open becomes the way of God. That will not make sense to you while you're in the midst of the assault. But Oh, my goodness. Are they ever losing? Are they ever losing? It's been a very, very interesting week. And I think that there is where we'll start. Once I ask, well, how did it go in Nevada this time? Superbly well. Mr. Green came to his own bankruptcy hearing. That's a new one. And while he's shouting about these two bankrupts, he's sitting in a bankruptcy review. Now, isn't that interesting? He almost exploded. He could hardly contain himself. We had to move Dorma to the wall to get her away from the aisle. He was so angry. And Brad and EJ sat opposite him and Mr. Horton. And if murder could have been accomplished, it would have been accomplished right there in front of that judge. Because she saw right through it. As EJ would say, he didn't tell many new lies, but every breath was a re-expression of the old ones. I can give you a for instance. Do you have anything to do with any other corporation in publishing or whatever would have taken place after America West Publishing? Nothing. EJ, read off the ones. And let's see how you dig some of these.
Officer's name. Officer's name, George W. Green, Greenland Development, Marseille, Idaho. George W. Green, President, America West Distributing, Secretary and Treasurer of America West Distributing, also of America West Publishing. President, Treasurer, and Secretary. It's all on that page.
What is the name of the publishing company that does the journals, Phoenix Source?
Yes. Officer's name, Desiree Green, President of Phoenix Publishing, Carson City.
I thought you'd really like that, people.
She's also Secretary and Treasurer of Phoenix Publishing. She's also President and Secretary and Treasurer of Transition Development. And then here's George Green without the W, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Minden Capital, Secretary and Treasurer of Ecological Development, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Bridger House, President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Jamway, that's spelled J-A-M-W-A-Y, Inc., President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Webb Wall, Inc. Wall is spelled W-A-L. And President, Secretary, and Treasurer of Global Insights, Inc. Yeah, that's it.
From the Nevada records of officers of corporation, is that what that is?
Yes. So, does an oath for truth in a valid court of law mean anything? Is there any reason that Mr. Horton, his attorney, could not get the same records. This is only one example of 20 to 25 minutes of one disastrous, for him, statement after another. This was to the trustee of the federal bankruptcy court. And your journals, the first 50, of which he had 110,000 copies. And the court ordered him to store them safely, get them insured, and have them available because they secured a note covering several notes made by George Green. And this involved America West Publishers, whose title you'll find on the copyright page of every one of those journals. Those are all gone. Now, you will remember back when there were floods in Reno, Nevada. Hear me well. Reno. R-E-N-O. Reno. The books were in Carson City, C-A-R-S-O-N-C-I-T-Y, some several miles away, but they got drowned in the flood in Carson City. And do you know that that person, if he could only remember his name, would have a receipt for them because he's the one that dumped them in the dumpsters. And Brad said, would that be Mr. Golden? Yeah, that's the one. So all the books that were held as any kind of collateral have been destroyed. What happened was George never paid him. He went out of business. It was a automotive garage. And they're quite gone, all right. But they still have 40,000 copies of Desiree's book, and they were the only ones ever in point, he said. Ever. He had these made up, printed, 50,000 copies, of which there's still 40, in a trade paper hand to do advertising for the Phoenix Institute and your paper. When questioned about the money owed to the Phoenix Institute, he said, oh, well, that was only borrowed under any circumstances to produce the paper. The Liberator, I believe he designated. Well, couldn't have been that because he took out the loans prior to any such paper. Now, he contradicted himself right there. When asked about it again, he said, oh, well, Mr. Ecker made him sign those papers because Ecker was already in trouble with University of Science and Philosophy. And he had to do that, and then he got so confused that nobody could understand what the hell he was trying to say. But he was saying it was to protect myself from US&P. And then he goes into a tirade about being sued in a federal court in that case. And Brad just letting him go and hanging himself. And obviously this cannot be because we'd never heard of the University of Science and Philosophy. It already made the loans. The $350,000 did not come up in gold, but I'm going to bring that up in a minute because we're going to start handling these things as business decisions. Dorman and EJ are sick to death of phone calls, letters, papers, everything, trying to make decisions about ones out of state who have an idea or who want to journey here who want to move here, who want to stay here. They want a job. They want a place. We are not a group. And the last one, last night or this morning, or both, is one who has visited here and come before. And he says he's just not making it at all where he is. How well are we making it where we are? Thank you, Margie. But God is telling me I need to go there. Well, listen to God. But don't confuse God. Don't confuse God with what it is you think you want to do. Because you have others that were here and left. And boy, did they learn. And I think that some of you might want to write to these precious people, Warren and Phyllis. You'll remember them, the Cantrells. There has been such remorse in their hearts because they could not stick it out just because they wanted to kind of run things. Phyllis did. And it became very difficult. And she was trying to raise a grandbaby that was just an infant. They have been everywhere from Tennessee to Kentucky, and now they're in Texas. And all they want to do is come home again to Tehachapi. We've had many meetings recently to the extent that this is why I'm not going to discuss them off the record. I want them on the record. This is what we're about. We weren't about some easy trip down any pathway, especially the pathway of light. It gets awfully dark behind those boulders shoved in your path. It gets awfully, awfully dark above those cement boots they put on your feet and throw you in the lake just as often as they can. George Green finally shouts out, "They've cost me $1 million on top of all those millions they cost me before." Now, I could swear that part of that cost might have been to attorneys. Well, that particular set of circumstances will undoubtedly get worse before it gets better, because now the trustee will have to recommend to the court that the man is either a pathological liar. He has lied so often in every case that he is no longer considered a worthy witness, even in his own behalf. But that doesn't help your cause, does it? Except that they maybe throw out the bankruptcy. This is the second time that within five number one trial, this was to be the trial in Judge Griffin's court some time ago. And 5 days prior to that trial, they filed bankruptcy. This time, 4 days before confrontation in trial on this subject, they filed bankruptcy again. And this was a hearing. They were going to throw everybody out as being unsecured lenders. No. There were 110,000 journals. Dated material, now worthless, and now gone. So I don't think Mr. Green is through paying his lawyers yet, and yet, don't try to fool God. He ain't paying them now. That's why it goes on and on and on and on. Now, new attorneys, new executors in Texas yet to test Dave Overton's will. Let them play. They just get deeper and deeper and deeper. Where are we with Betty Tootin? Still just as tangled up or more so than before. She has such an idiot lawyer, only surpassed by the one she had. He hasn't served the proper papers, but all of the restrictions are now in more firmly placed enforcement. And the Eckers haven't even been served the second time with a response. Brad is going to see what he can do about precipitating something through the court. But you see, they're all standing back waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to see what's going to happen to the gold. So now I have to discuss the gold because I have the board of advisors here and the board, and please, this will serve as a meeting of the board of directors and advisors. Gene Dixon has had some bad times lately, but he's going to have some worse times now. He called Mr. Ellie. He said that he was moving back to Grass Valley sometime in the near future, but he was going to meet with EJ to make sure that he had arrangements made for his bonus, and he wanted to know the status of the gold. And Brad said, "Oh, Gene, don't do that. That will be a very large error. That is bogged down worse than before. And I don't see how you could justify even discussing a bonus over something that shows no signs of not one string being released, to 1 cent of it." So you on the advisory board and the board of directors are going to have to vote as to what you feel is the proper way to handle a bonus on gold that we don't have. I don't know what else to say about that. You can take that business up later. Have we solved all the problems? Are you kidding me? I could ask and say, how many of you have solved all of our problems? Well, we're solving them, one right after the other. We are going to move on with our mission, no matter how rough the crossing is across this creek bed, while we try to get on with our mission. We have never had this group as a church, period. This was for your protection. You should see them get in court and try to babble about what we must be. And I'm going to insist now that Mr. Ellie play the ET card like they do. Mr. Green said to all of his people, to everybody, thank you. He told everybody, including Bo Grites, who immediately called and wanted to know of Hatton, how the hell many of you are there up there? To which I could only answer one. Well, Green says, and he'd written this, that you went with him to Nevada, and he receives directly from you. And, of course, Desiree receives directly from you, Aton, Sananda, etc. Well, I suggest that when you have the Greens on the witness stand, you ask them about that. And then I want it asked very, very carefully. Are these ETs to which you refer? Who wrote the owner's manual? And the only logical answer to that will be, well, Desiree received. Druthea, all from who? Is that an ET? We're going to stop this garbage playing and mudslinging. But you don't stop it by capitulating to it. It just doesn't even deserve an answer. It does deserve an answer. God deserves an answer. People, you're not playing through this experience. And if you are, you better stop it. This is your schoolroom. This is your classroom. This is the journey of your soul. And you can play through anything you want to, but we are not here to play. We are here to accomplish what God has sent us to do. Now, are we going to be successful at any major fundraising of any kind under any circumstances? You better believe it. And they have made it so obvious to us that we will have to not only account for every cent, but every project. Now, how are we going to maintain that, get from here over to here, and be alive to do it? Well, we met yesterday with some intriguing people who actually have a lot of what we need, but oh my goodness, do we ever have what they need? They have gone a long, long way, and they've done it under the shelter of a church, which has all but destroyed them in most ways, as you might well guess. But we can handle what they need done. And in the meanwhile, for those services, we probably can begin to glean enough income to barely keep us going a little bit further until some of these other things unfold. And I'm saying this as much for EJ and Dorma as for anyone in this room, because after a while, your head goes numb and you think, I just can't do this anymore. I can't stand the responsibility. We're going to stand the responsibility. Now make it clear to yourself in this room, out there listening, we are going to be and stand responsible. These are the lessons. You have been given mighty tools. Once again, the corporate veils have held, no matter what they've done, even being insiders. The structure has held. And why would it hold? Because we have done it honestly. And when we answer in truth. And we don't have to worry about our stories a second time not meshing. Well, what are we going to do about these ongoing things? What ongoing things? Well, just got a new suit week before last from Mr. Horton and Mr. Abbott. This was again Schrofer Teja and Fort. An infinite balance. Infinite balance is completely 100% run and operated by Ann Beam, who finally broke up with Mr. Fort and moved out and subsequently moved away. So what is the status of Infinite Balance, Mr. Fort's corporation? More important, how dares they continue after John's death to name him? Now I'm going to tell you the real punchline, and this should make every lawyer on our side very happy. Eleanor doesn't have Teja Corporation. They came back from Carson City, Eleanor and John, and they wanted to remove the Eckers as their officers and directors. And this was basically, boy, are we glad to be rid of that type of an attitude. John was back in less than 2 days pleading with Kathy and EJ to take back this corporation. And he was there with Eleanor. They felt they had been sucked into something. Well, I don't think Eleanor was sucked into anything that she didn't understand. But she didn't know what to do with the corporation. They never paid another cent. They never met any kind of a commitment to the corporation or its structure from that moment forward. Does anybody in this room remember voting to sue us? I didn't think so. Now, I don't know what Mr. Abbott's going to do when that hits him between the eyes. It's just been saved up there. And you see, they've hauled this group into court at least 3-4 times now because they said that Mr. Ellie had no right to represent the Institute, didn't have a right to represent the Eckers, didn't have a right, certainly, to represent 3 corporations that were taken by Betty Tootin. Well, the judge ruled against that and said he certainly did. And the corporations were in good standing, ordered them to get those books back in court. Oh, but they haven't done it. They haven't done it. So I wouldn't want to be on that side anymore. But it's going to take a while for that to legally unfold. Now, Ray has done an exceptionally good job of working up a David Miller type filing, which will go back to the first encounter in the Mojave Court with Jason Brent and Stephen Horn. That has been filed. It was accepted by the court clerk, but they did appoint a magistrate, and since we have not yet served Jason Brent or Stephen Horn, we're going to hold up until Ray has a case with he and Janet to attend tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes, and we will petition the court and demand that we not have a magistrate. We only need a judge. But we have the judge appointed also, and it's Judge Coyle. He'll love seeing us again. And he's going to see us another dozen or so times, and he knows it. He knows it's coming. Now, one other thing. You might have suspected this when the second assault came for contempt of court against the Eckers with Judge Coyle and all of that, we're going to throw you in jail and stuff, was the final bargain between Green and US&P. You see, he owed them $43,000. He just sold you out, you know, and that was not paid. So Brad asked him, do you, oh, you keep speaking of infringed works. Do you owe anyone anything on any infringement or probable cause or anything, Mr. Green? And he hum-hawed around, again under oath, though, he said, no, not now. So he made the rest of his bargain. Well, I think that we'll let Judge Coyle and those other people explain to us in a common law setting what it was they had in mind. Because all we have to do is stand there and say, you violated our constitutional rights under the law. And you did it with knowledge, etc. We have so many, we don't even know where to go first. But we'll get better. And this will begin to help turn around some of that unlawful mess that goes on all the time. And when you can do it yourself, it doesn't cost you any more than it costs their lawyers. And pretty soon, it's going to get very tight. And one of the very things that Mr. Green, almost in tears, said he was so sick of spending money on lawyers. He just wanted it to end. Well, I would suggest that all we've wanted all along was just to end. So if these people do not even know what their lawyers are doing, and how they don't know what their lawyers are doing was the most foolish thing they ever did. Do you really think that Abbott goes over to visit with Eleanor? Do you think that Eleanor has any idea about what goes on? And you heard Leon Fort in this room say, I don't understand any of that. I don't even read it. Well, he didn't have to worry about it because nothing really was ever sent to him. And that man took money, put it in escrow, and spent it personally for himself. And then double the jeopardy. He asked Leon if he could use part of it as an investment in something, and he would split the stock. That is as unlawful as you can get in the judicial system. But they did it. So maybe, maybe not, people begin to open their eyes. These are the things of life that happen while we have been making other plans. But you had to have the lessons. Everything you've experienced now serves you. So not one thing that appears negative must even touch you, except to know that you can now handle whatever this system tosses at you. And that frees you up for your connection with God. And he's going to put you through your paces. I need to talk just briefly about the phone call. This was a very genuine phone call. Please, I am not in any way discounting the person or the wish or the involvement. Just for the record, just remember R.S. This person is not making it where he is. He would like to come and dwell in his little trailer. Well, his little trailer has a bed, that's it. And he would like to dwell out at the farm. Now, this person before had wanted us to fire, you know, Pablo's friends and Pablo, because he could do all that, and it seemed that one of us should have the jobs. So that did not go well. But this person is a school teacher, has some pretty good talents, and would want to work into Once again, I didn't know we had such a desirable form, but some kind of form manager. Well, we have ones in line for that. And that's after Dingman gets back. Dingman didn't go away. Dingman could not get his citizenship covered, and he couldn't get his children into school. Now he's going to be a hauler, a log hauler, for the winter so he can get enough assets together to hit again the immigration problem and return. And we said, never are we going to get in the mess we've been in with the farm. It's a leased farm, but we need the silos. We need the granaries. We need the flour operation. So Ed Davis, who is second only to Cal Organic in the organic growing recognition arenas, is going to take it, upgrade all of the irrigation systems, and he's going to make it part of his farm experience for the next season or two. That helps us. That gets rid of that headache. Now, R.S. would wish to remain at the farm, help Ray and Janet with whatever, you know, they needed help with. Well, I have to say right here that I only see that cooking and that sort of thing would have to be done at Ray and Janet's, because there's nothing like that in the little trailer, number one. And number two, you're going to get very lonely out there. And their schedules are very much like Ed Young's. They work all night, so that daytimes are in sleep and research and court and things like that. They have been watching and tending over everything. So I am not going to even begin to consider making such a decision. What is being asked is that, can I come and wait, and maybe you'll take care of me until God takes care of all of us. God's tired. Does anybody understand? God will show us the way. We have to do it. But I lay that before you. That's going to need some kind of a decision, I guess. Because we don't have a church. We don't have a group. Nobody even knows who to go to. But EJ's got the headache now of, what do I do about this?